In 1996, Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson changed the rules of horror with the movie Scream. It was the beginning of a movie saga that has continued to captivate fans and audiences in the years since the filmmakers first took us to Woodsboro. This podcast is a celebration of Scream and everything that came next. I'm Alex James, and this is the Woodsboro Podcast. It is one of the most iconic houses in the history of scary movies. It's the place that Billy Loomis and Stu Macca lured their prey, but ultimately met their end in 1996, and the place that Richie and Amber attempted to recreate the carnage in 2022, but, well, ultimately met their end. It's 261 Turner Lane, Woodsboro, and it's probably the last place Sidney Prescott and Gail Weathers would ever fancy having to visit ever again. But for any Scream fan, it is the place to go and pay homage to our beloved movie series. In episode one of the Woodsboro podcast, you heard me chatting to Scream location manager Eric Klosterman. He told me all about finding the famous house in the first place and how the cast and crew went about filming that very special finale for Scream. And in episode 11, the guys from Radio Silence told me how they recreated the house on a set in Wilmington for the final showdown in this year's edition of Scream. So I thought it might be nice, because it's been a while, to have a chat about this house. I was due to visit it myself in October this year, but circumstances prevented this, alas. So this is the next best thing. You're going to hear from Franco Caramelino, a.k.a. Macca Ghost online, together with his buddy Dane Petrali from YouTube's Being Scared. They can actually take you inside 261 Turner Lane on the Scream House tours. I mean, obviously, that's not the real address. But who better to tell us what it's like to follow in the bloody footsteps of Sydney, Dewey, Randy, Gale and Ghostface than Franco? I'm in Manchester and he is in Iowa.
So how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I'm 31.
So yeah, you would have been too young to go to the cinema to see it.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. However, so I grew up in Argentina. I lived there for 20 years, and so basically I moved here not that long ago. But when the movie came out, I think we got it on the regular channel probably like the year after or 2 years after, I think. So that would have been 1997, 98. And I remember so vividly that it was on this particular channel around 2-3 in the morning. My parents obviously would not let me watch horror movies yet. So I would wait. I was like, I'm going to wait on that until this time. Whenever they go to bed, I'm going to wake up and put on that channel because I know the movie's going to be there. It is kind of crazy because that movie scared me so much. Like that opening scene, I see Casey Becker. She gets this phone from a random person, and this person is watching you all around the house. And at that time, I had the patio, and it has like similar windows, and it's like located very similarly to her house. And it's just crazy to me to think that I would get scared just from watching her being, you know, stalked by this guy when I'm just like watching the movie and looking at it. Maybe there's someone there. And I wanted to continue watching it. Like, what's going on? But yeah, I think that's how horror works for all of us. But
I mean, everybody that I've spoken to about it just says how, you know, how clever, how funny, how scary it was. And it was that perfect combination of, you know, right time, right place for something like that to come into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then obviously the mask, there was always something that it draws you to look at it. There's something about it. It's just like, whoa, this is super cool. And I remember I could not find it anywhere because Argentina is not, it's, you know, we did not get a lot of that good things that you can get here in the US. So I was like, Mom, I really want this mask. It's just like, what is this mask from? Like, no, we're not doing this right now. And I wanted it so bad. And so I remember going to the stores looking for them, and they were like plastic, really cheap things, like flat completely. But I was like, no, I cannot get it. I cannot get it. And when I came here, I think it was like 5 years ago that it just popped in my mind again. So I had this fanatism. I was like a huge fan. Then it kind of died down. And then, I came here, and I was like, oh, that's the Ghostface mask I always wanted. So I just grabbed it from Walmart and put it on. And it's like, oh yeah, this kind of looks like it. Watch the movie. It's like, no, not really. And I got my, it was like a rabbit hole. And I was like, but why doesn't it look like it? And one thing led to the other. It's like, oh, because this is all these different masks, like Gen 1, Gen 2, and the EU 3, EU 4. There's all different kinds of masks. But yeah, there's the mask was, I would say, was one of the biggest thing for me to really like Ghostface so much.
How many do you have now? I can see two behind you.
Yeah, so I have right here, that's the Gen 1 that I use for the tours, but I want to retire it a little bit because it's like, you know, the like the first gen. This is the first mask I got, actually, which is like a regular ultra white mask.
It looks very clean, yeah.
It does. It does. It has like a little bit of a scrape up there, but beyond that, this is the very first mask. And that one, I think I'm not, it's just there. But and I think I probably have like 15 masks.
No way.
Yeah, because I have like the prime mask, I have the chrome, I have the devil face, I have a Gen 2 here and there, like the EU. Yeah.
It's not just a hobby, it's a proper passion.
I know. And when the tours came along, I was like, I cannot believe that this is happening. Like all of this was not just for, just to put it out like in a box and keep them like in a stack. And I get to do things with it.
So yeah, let's talk about Turner Lane. I remember probably maybe like 12 years ago, first going on the internet and, you know, trying to find the information about where these places were. And, you know, Casey's house was very hard to find information on, same as Sydney's.
Oh, yeah.
And especially Turner Lane as well. But over the last sort of, I guess as the internet's developed and, you know, access to locations and Google Maps and stuff like that has enabled people to find places much quicker. Mm-hmm. So when was your first visit there? How did you discover where it was? And what was it like when you arrived?
Okay, so we scheduled a tour because, you know, so they are, it would be the Spring Hill Estate, which is kind of like the business that they run. They have cottages, they have a farm that you can get married at. And then the house sits on a hill. So as soon as you drive, you get all the, like all the cottages here, you go up, they have the farm, you go up, they have the house. And so we were looking for a place to get married. And I was like, it would be really cool to go to this place. And all of a sudden I'm just scrolling down like on their website. And I was like, is this a Scream House? Like, no, this cannot be. And I'm just looking more and more and more, just this is a Scream, like, oh my gosh, I want to see this. So we scheduled a tour purposely just to see the house, mostly to see the house. And then I was like, well, but if we can get married at the farm, then the house is there, that will be totally fine too. And so we got on a tour and we got there. So we had a tour on Sunday, but we went there on a Saturday. We shouldn't have done that. However, it said that Sunday was going to rain like 100%, like all day. Sunday was our last day in California. I was like, I'm going to give it a try and I'm just going to try go now. And then if they see me and they're like, hey, what are you doing like here? Like, well, tomorrow it's really going to rain all day. We're not going to be able to see anything. And so I just took a chance and went. All the gates were open and I remember shaking. I was like, these people are going to hate me if they see me here. I don't want to have any trouble, but I continue going. And then I drove up and funny enough. So I get there and as you're driving up, the first thing that you see for the house is not the front of the house, it's the back of the house. So the house is facing, like the front would be facing nothing, just farmland basically. And so I get there and I'm walking towards what I think is the front. And I'm looking, I was like, oh, I think they probably changed it. It does not look like the house anymore. That's so sad. But I continue walking, going around the house, and like, oh no, hold up. This is the house. This is the front. So I went all around it and yeah, I was just like, I shouldn't be here. So I said, it's okay. I'll be here for 10 minutes. I'm gonna look at it. I know that I'm gonna have to cancel tomorrow. It's gonna be rainy. It's fine. So just for fun, I threw on the robe, the mask, and we did photos for like, it was like 15 minutes, but photos like back to back to back, blah, 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 here and there. Blah, blah, blah. And as I'm leaving, the owner comes up, she drives up and she's like, what are you guys doing here? And so I said, well, we're coming here for a tour, but it's going to be raining. I'm from Argentina. I'm with my partner. And so she's like, oh, you guys have a tour. No, that's totally fine. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah. I know that it was going to rain. And this usually happens. I was like, okay, cool. And she was so nice after we told her that we were not just there simply because we wanted to go. I mean, we wanted to go, but we also had a purpose for the next day. And she's like, well, since you guys are here, I can give you a tour now. And so we did everything together that day. And we're so, 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 so thankful. That's, yeah, that lady, she's super sweet. And she's always been super, super sweet to us. And well, that's how I saw the house, basically. That it was like 15 minutes. And she also said, I have to do some laundry. If you guys want to walk in while I'm doing this, see the house inside, then I take you to see the farm. And I was like, is this really happening? Sure. I mean, yeah, we'll love to. So she showed us all around and everything. And yeah, we took some photos inside. I think I have a photo with mask on by the garage, like holding it like that, and super, super fun. And how I got to the tours, because, well, that was October 2021. And then Dane Petrolli is the main host. So he talked to the owner. I don't know how that came about, but he accepted to do the tours with them. And I went to the tours the first time in March of this year, March 2022. I took all of these photos. I took a lot more photos. And when I put them on my Instagram, Dane messaged me and asked if he wanted to share, if I was okay if he would share them to promote future tours. And I was like, absolutely, please use all of them. Like, I would love that. What an honor. And then I asked him, I was like, if you guys are looking for someone else to join, like, I'd be super, super happy to do that. And he's like, sure. So that's basically how I came on board too.
So am I right? The people who own the house now and the estate, they've not been there that long. They bought it fairly recently, and it was, I think it was empty for a little bit maybe, or somebody had died, and, you know, the family were trying to sell it at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, by the front door in the house, it has the, I guess, the year that it was built, and it says 1990. So it's not that long ago. And I think the people, I guess the guy that built it, him and his wife, they passed away in the house. I believe then the house was sold to somebody else, and then he got to this owner. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure it had to 2 to 3 owners for sure.
With film locations, generally everything feels smaller. When you see it in real life, does it feel smaller, or does it just feel pretty epic?
To me, but this happens to everything I see online. It always feels like it's more square, more like chunky, more than like, you know, like wide. It did feel a little bit like that, but walking in, then you're like, oh no, this is big. This is huge, because you walk in and you have the staircase and the chandelier up here, and then you can see how massive the house is. It's like that entrance part. You're right there. It's like, oh my goodness, yeah, this is big. So it's really just the layout of the house. It's very easy to, if you begin walking, and then you're like, oh, where does this go? Like, I'm not really sure. So it's kind of like a maze a little bit.
You can understand why they picked it. It's perfect, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yes, yes. Because you can literally go, you walk in, you go to the left, and you go around. You appear again in that door that goes directly to the front too. And you can go like that too. And upstairs, all the rooms basically connect. Well, not all of them, but the main one where Billy and Sid would be together for the first time, that room connects with the whole upstairs.
And so how many people have you taken around now altogether?
Oh my gosh. I have no clue, but I think hundreds of people.
Oh my God.
Yeah, usually the owners will leave in the morning, and then they come as soon as we're done. We've had situations that they just wanted to be in the house, and obviously it's their home, so sure. They would just be upstairs, or sometimes they come down to meet the fans and just talk a little bit, and yeah, then they do their own thing.
And what's people's reactions like when they arrive?
Oh my, I had this girl, she walked in and she's like, I'm trying so hard not to cry right now. This is like a dream come true. And so all the people just walk in, they're like, oh, like they just stay there in shock, like looking around, like, oh my gosh, I'm here, like trying to, you know, to sink that in, and oof, okay, here we go.
How long does it take to go around? You doing your tour? And are you fully costumed up for the entire thing?
Yeah. So It's usually like you can see it really, really quickly, but we are extending the tours more and more. The first one, I think Dane did it for 45 minutes. I was like, that's really short for that house. And so now they're more like an hour and 30 minutes. And this is like pausing in each room and talking about what happened in each room. And then, cause when you walk in, it's very easy to like lose sight of what is what, because like you're, when you watch the movie, obviously you see it from a different angle than when you're in. And so it's very easy to say, oh, this is the part that happened. Yeah. Cause you go here, you go there. Like everything makes sense then. So we go, you know, little by little, taking the time in each room and just talking to them about what happens. And yeah, I think doing it an hour and a half, maybe sometimes even 2 hours, that's enough time.
Let's talk a bit about your next installment is Christmas.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah.
Yep. December 17th and 18th.
Okay. And people can still get on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. You can buy tickets, I think, even on the 16th, if you decide to go that yeah.
And then are you going to continue into 2023? The owners are cool at the minute, or it's kind of wait and see?
We never really know. Just mostly because it's their home, and it's kind of like, so I was just thinking when the tours got canceled, you know, the first thing I thought was like, but why? Like, people love this. Like, you can't just do this. You know, this is like a really selfish thought. But then I'm just thinking, if that was my house and I'm not a fan, and I get all these people coming to my house all the time, I can probably react and like, you know what? I'm going to fence it all. Like, nobody's going to come see this ever again. Or you can just simply give in a little, say, okay, yeah, let's continue with the tours, because people keep driving anyway, which is bad. And I don't recommend that to anybody. And they don't really want to put fences all around it, because you shouldn't have to. People should be respectful enough to I guess adapt to the tour time and not just show up. But so there's a lot of reasons why, you know, the tours can continue or cannot continue, and why they discontinue too. It's just the privacy of their home.
Did you end up getting married there in the end?
We did not, but we did our wedding photos there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we did our wedding photos. Yeah,
That sort of area of California, the other locations there, have you managed to kind of get access to or see any of the other ones from the OG?
Oh, yeah. So it's Santa Rosa, Healdsburg, and Sonoma. They're all like in within 20 to 30 minutes from one another. So it'll be really easy if you go to the house, or actually, no, if you go to Sonoma Community Center, which is where they did the school. If you go there, and then you go, I think, to Healdsburg, that's the next town, and then you go down to Santa Rosa. In Healdsburg, you had the fountain when mm-hmm. they were eating apples and all that. Yeah, you had that fountain right across from it, what the police station was. And now it's like a winery, I think. And then Santa Rosa has Tatum's house and the grocery store. So it's like all of them are right there.
And have you managed to see Casey's and Sydney's as well? Or
I have not. Okay. No.
I've driven
by it. Oh my gosh, I would love to. Yeah. I would really like to. But those houses are so much more difficult to get in. Because mm-hmm. when you get to Casey's, it's like a massive like driveway. You have, I don't know how many acres of land until you get to the house. So when you see the movie at the beginning, that she's like looking out and see the house, the car coming, I think it was the, obviously the parents coming, you see how long that is. And yeah, it'll take you a little bit to get to the house. So you cannot simply just, oh, the gates are open and drive, because it's a pretty long drive too.
And since the release of the latest one, do you think they managed, having, you know, you're pretty much an expert on this, do you think they managed to do a good job of recreating it in
the house
and also like Woodsboro as a whole in Wilmington?
I think so. I think it's really good. I can tell the minute I'm watching the movie, like, yeah, this is different. Like some of the walls, some of the doors are not as wide. There's one that's like, so when you walk in the house, the right door, I think it's Richie. He's running when, hold on. Nev leaves the kitchen and she's running and he's coming after her. You see that he's holding that that door like that, and I was like, whoa, that's so small. That looks like my door is here, and that door in the, like, in the real house is really wide. Like, I can stand and do this, and I touch that, and you can see that he's doing this on the wall. The end of the door will be right here. So things like that, the kitchen tiles, they were really well done, but you can still tell. And then the wood is different. That gives it away completely.
There was a feel about it that was just different, and you could tell it was studio. I think when Mason is kind of like being chased around the grounds and stuff, it felt like you weren't in the same atmosphere, right?
Right. And in the real house, so Mason will leave the house. If you're leaving the house like how he is, you get the road will be to the left, and then to the right, there's nothing. It's just land. So when he gets into that, what is it, like a cottage that he gets into? No,
yeah.
That's like a shed, I think. So he goes to the right, and in the real house, there's nothing there. It's just completely empty. It's just land. But he goes to the right, which does not make sense to me. It's like, if you get attacked, why don't you just go around the house and come back in? Like, why would you go there? Like, it does not make any sense. But maybe, I don't know, they made it seem like there was trees all around the house, and so he couldn't come back in, and yeah.
This fuss have you, what about any of the others, like 2, 3, 4, any of location visits for some of those as well?
Yeah, I saw the Rialto Theater, which is like the opening scene from Scream 2, and then what else did I see? I think from Scream 2, that was pretty much it. None of the Scream 3, because I would have been in LA, and I haven't made the time to go. I should, but I haven't made the time to actually go see. I think it's Consueri's house. You get the front, like a lot of people go see it. I haven't done it. And then I think that big mansion that was used for H2O. I've been like traveling mostly to go to the Scream house every single time. Yeah, that's like one of the main reasons why I'm in California always.
If I could get you to choose your favorite from the saga aside from number one.
So it used to be 1, 2, 3, and 4, but right now I think it's 1, 5, and then goes to 2 and 3, and then the last one is 4. I just can't develop a lot of love for 4.
Yeah, it's not bad. I rewatched it quite recently, and I'm always, when I have a break from it and go back to it, I'm always pleasantly surprised that it's not as it's not as bad as I think it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, everyone in that movie is just excellent. But I think that if you watch 1 and then you watch 4, you can do that. You can clearly see that it's not the same. But yeah, no. I think right now it's 1 and 5, and then 2, 3, and then 4. And I think 5, because it came out in this year, 2022, and it's like I get to experience this movie as a fan, like to the fullest. So, and then Paramount sent me a poster and a hoodie. And so it has a lot of things for me to like really, really love this movie right now. And it's because it feels like I'm living through it. It's like, yeah.
It is cool to sort of, you know, get on this hype wagon again, isn't it? And enjoy the ride of waiting for what happens next. And
right.
And, you know, we're back in that situation again. Now, what are your hopes for number six?
I had, you know, when they said Ghostbusters is going to be in New York, I'm just like, in New York? And like, okay, like I just can't picture the Empire State with Ghostface on the side. it just doesn't click with me. But the fact that the people are really convinced with releasing it earlier now, it makes me think that okay, the movie's gonna do brilliant. Because mm-hmm. you know, If there was second thoughts, you wouldn't do this like that quickly. You'd be like, no, we need more time. Maybe we'll release it in April instead of March or June. But just the fact that they're so ready, that means it has a lot of green lights. It's kind of sad that Nev is not going to be there. But then yeah, the same thing with Halloween, that you don't get Laurie all the time. So maybe it'll be one of those things that she's not there all the time, and then she comes back like mm-hmm. in the eighth movie or something. So that made me sad, obviously, but I totally understand why. And I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be an interesting watch, not having Nev there and not having David there as well. And yeah. Courtney sort of carrying it for the legacy cast.
Yeah.
Really excited to see what happens. So, yeah, I mean, you're like online presence then. Are people just kind of fully into, are we going as far as calling it cosplay? Is it cosplay?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, so for the Scream House tours, I'm kind of like the photographer, Ghostface, social media coordinator, like a little bit of everything all together. So, yeah. Yeah, I think we can call it cosplay too. Yeah. Yeah, I feel really blessed, really, really thankful to Dane, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gotten into any of this.
How did he first approach the owners then? Do we know?
I think he rented the house for the first time for his fan film that he did in the house. It's the only film that's out there that was shot there. So he rented the house, I think, 2 years ago, and then he always kept in contact with the owner. He got back when this new movie came out, like January. So he rented the house for that weekend too. So him and his friends, he always says that he went to the theater, saw the movie, and then he's like, now I get to drive back to the actual house. And they went and said, this is crazy to actually sleep in the house after you just watched the movie. It's just... yeah, mind blowing. And I think they're really good friends. So they've always kept in touch, and I was talking about it, and then I think he came with the offer and said, how about we just do tours? Since you get people here all the time anyway.
People should be respectful, but also you kind of understand how passionate fans are about these kind of things.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they just watched the movie like not long ago. Maybe they watched it when he came out and then didn't watch any of the other Screams, and then I think he said that he just watched it like not long ago again, and it's like, oh, you know, it's just nothing to them. I was like, yeah, I guess it's my house, but they're not fans, they just do it for the fans. And it really is like in the middle of nowhere. Like when you see Nev, well, I guess Sydney, no, is Sam and Melissa, no, Sam, oh my goodness, Sam and Richie and Tara, there you go, when they're driving, that she forgets the inhaler. She's like, oh my gosh, I don't have it. You see that they're actually like in the middle of nowhere, like it's trees and trees and trees. She's like, it'll be quick, we're going to the house. So like that idea really sets you like, yeah, the house is in a basically farmland, so you do have to drive away from a city to get to the house. So that part was also really cool to see. And it's like, yep, it is in the middle of nowhere.
What's your social media handles?
Yeah, so it's @MockerGhost. Yeah, @MockerGhost. Yeah.
And the tours have a separate place, right?
The tours, yeah, I guess the page will be Scream House Tour. We had it under Scream House Tours before, and I something happened to that account that we had to change it to just Scream House Tour at the moment. So hopefully we get the S back to it. So it will be Scream House Tours. Scream House Tour right now.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Woodsboro Podcast. Please rate and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And if you'd like to join the conversation, then you can find more on social media @TheWoodsboroPod. And you can find me on social media too @ThisIsAlexJames.